Welcome, members and guests, to the April 10th program of the City Club of Eugene, Measure 2231, Lane County Vehicle Registration Fee. Thank you for joining us. I'm Marlene Nesri, City Club President. Our sponsors today are the Oregon Country Fair, July 10th through 12th, 2015, the Wayne Moore Center for Law and Politics, and Dot Dotson's Imagery Experts for over 80 years. Special thanks go to KPFF's consulting engineers for supplying our office space and to KLCC Radio for airing these programs at 6:30 on Monday nights and also for archiving the podcasts on their site. Welcome back to our returning member, Bob Cassidy, and our returning sponsor, Funk Levis & Associates. A quick reminder that we host nearly 50 original nonpartisan issue programs every year. If you believe with us that civic education is the lifeblood of democracy, please join us. We welcome donors, sponsors, members, volunteers, and students, anyone who has a stake in community life. On a seasonal note, spring means City Club elections. So if you or someone you know would be interested in running for a seat on our board of directors, please let us know via email by April the 20th. Our annual meeting and election will take place May 15th, 2015. Today's program, Measure 2231, Lane County Vehicle Registration Fee, is coordinated by Marty Wilde. Our presenters are Pete Sorensen, Lane County Commissioner, District 3, South Eugene, and Linda McKinney, Lane County's Transportation Planning Supervisor. They'll be followed by President-elect James Baldock, who'll briefly share findings from a City Club study group that's been reviewing Measure 2231. Now, please join me in welcoming today's speakers.
Good afternoon. I'm Pete Sorensen, Lane County Commissioner for the South Eugene District, and today Lydia McKinney and I are going to be talking with you about the measure that the County Board of Commissioners has put together. Today we're talking about roads, streets, sidewalks, bike lanes, bridges. By the way, Lydia, you may sit down. And we're talking about the roads and bridges and sidewalks that the county maintains, but we're also talking about the roads, bridges, streets, sidewalks, and infrastructure that the cities, the 12 cities of Lane County, are administering. I'm going to talk for about 5 minutes right now, and then Ms. McKinney, who's with our Lane County Department of Transportation Services, going to talk. And then together, after the presentation from the City Club itself, we'll be available to answer questions. As the commissioner for South Eugene, I'm concerned about the series of deaths that we've had at intersections like 13th and Hilliard, 18th and Bailey Hill, 20th and Willamette, and what can be done to get a little safer environment for our community. I was particularly saddened by the headline in the Register Guard on February 23 this year, and the headline was, "Three Children Killed While Crossing Springfield Street." And for those who might not have followed that, that occurred at the intersection of 54th and Main in Springfield. Well, I know over time, I've spent a lot of time working on the topic of how do we get fairness with our federal partners that own two-thirds of the land area of Lane County, and I've particularly spent a lot of time working with our congressional delegation, testifying in favor of the SRS legislation. That legislation provides funding as a result of the presence of federal forests in America's counties. But in recent years, the effort to get the representatives of America's 3,000 counties to give the 200 counties that have federal forest lands additional money, that's not been a very good outcome for us, and we've had a 97% reduction in our county road fund in the last several fiscal years. Now, the board has been working on this for at least 18 months, maybe even longer, to try to figure out what can we do with an impending deficit of approximately $9 million a year. That is to say, existing revenues against existing costs, $9 million reduction. What could we do? Well, state statutes and Oregon legislature has provided for counties of a certain size, i.e. big counties like ours, to put together a revenue sharing proposal of establishing a vehicle registration fee that would be split by state statute, 40% for the cities within the counties. In our case, we have 12 cities that we would share this money with. We were authorized to establish the fee at $43 a year. We've chosen to put out a proposal to the voters of $35 per vehicle per year. And we hope that this achieves a couple of goals. One is increased safety. Another is cost savings. We know that on a common sense level that you have to maintain the things you own. If you don't clean out your gutters, you probably have to buy a new gutter for your roof. If you don't fix your roof, you probably have to buy a new roof. Same thing's true with the public infrastructure, such as the $9 billion that the people of Lane County own in their 314 bridges and their 1,400 miles of roads. So we want to have that component, the cost savings, and finally we want to have the accountability and make sure that the money is spent on the things that the voters have authorized it for. So we've included an auditing requirement comparable to our existing public safety levy requirement for an auditing requirement. I just want to briefly mention that typically in government meetings, we talk about, well, what's the government infrastructure? But there's another side to infrastructure, and that is your own vehicle. Your own vehicle that you drive, that you own, that the government doesn't own. And I want to recommend that ODOT, the Oregon Department of Transportation, put together a study that was released last year, and it says that very rough pavement increases the cost of vehicle repair compared to smooth pavement. Oh, what a shock. So, but further than just that observation is they concluded this adds up to an estimated $380 per year cost cost increase for the owner and driver of a medium-sized car. So what we found is there's an interest on the part of the motor vehicle driver to pay a slightly higher fee to register their vehicle, but to also get a portion of the $380 savings. So I know that that Lydia has an excellent PowerPoint for us because we have done several of these presentations together. And at this time, I really want to turn this over to Lydia. I do have one quote, and that is from the Irish dramatist Brendan Behan. And I looked this up the other day because I thought it had some relevance to today's conversation. I have a total irreverence for anything connected with society, except that which makes the road safer, the beer stronger, the old men and women warmer in the winter and happier in the summer. So I hope this proposal will meet all those objectives. Thank you.
Thanks, Commissioner Sorensen, and thanks very much to the City Club for having us here today. Again, my name is Lydia McKinney with Lane County Transportation Planning. And I will go through some details here about the proposal that we're talking about today. presuming I can work this. I can. So very quickly, what we're going to talk about, we'll start with what our goal is. As public servants, our primary goal, of course, is the health and safety of the public. What we'll talk about is our funding challenge, the funding challenge that we're facing and why it is that we're here before you today. We'll talk about this idea of a regional solution. Commissioner Sorensen mentioned that. I'll go over some of the frequently asked questions and what's next, but again, our primary goal is to provide information and to hear back questions from you. So again, we start with our primary goal here, which is to provide a safe road system. And roadside safety, we think of traffic safety, we think of well-designed roads that reduce the potential for conflicts or crashes, but maintenance is also a big part of roadside safety. If the road is designed well and maintained well, we can use it as it's designed. If there are potholes and ruts in the road, that tends to create conflict with the way vehicles and other users are able to use the road. You see this road here has beautiful stripes, it aligns where the roads are, you can see where their curbs are, the vegetation is cleared from the edges of the road. These are all components of roadside safety. So what is the funding issue that we have here? Well, we have a $6 billion asset in our roads and bridges. In Lane County, we have 417 bridges, that's a lot of bridges, and over 1,400 miles of roads. We also have 22,000 signs, I mentioned striping, so there's a lot of components to our roads. And we were able to build and maintain this road system primarily because we received timber receipts replaced by federal forest payments, secure rural schools payments. Thank you. Those in 2007, 2008, we received almost $22 million annually in those secure rural schools payments. When we were preparing this discussion and preparing our budgets this year, we were projecting no secure rural schools because we have not had any SRS renewals, and we're projecting actual timber harvest, which is $600,000. So that's a 97% decrease in the amount of money that's come into the road fund, significant decrease. There is some discussion currently about whether or not SRS will be renewed again for 2 years, but that is seen as one-time funds by Lane County. We would use that to reduce our debt and to balance our reserves, but we don't see that as an ongoing funding source. One of the things I'll mention here is, in addition to the federal forest payments, that's one component of our road fund. The other is the state highway fund. Those are the only two things that come into our road fund. And the state highway fund is made up of a number of components. The fuel that we pay, fuel tax, makes up about 24% of the state highway fund. Registration fees make up about 20% of the state highway fund. There's this thing called the weight mile tax. And in the state of Oregon, we're rather unique in that we charge trucks, quote unquote, their fair share. Trucks pay, on average, about $12,000 a year in vehicle registration and weight mile tax, whereas passenger vehicles pay $43 a year. So again, we have this unique system in Oregon where trucks are charged at a very high rate. Every 2 years, the legislature does a report to make sure that the amounts that we're charging in weight mile equals the damage, and those are adjusted every 2 years. So again, Commissioner Sorensen mentioned this. We have essentially a $9 million budget gap is what we're looking at. Our expenses are going up slightly just because inflation costs go up over time. We're not building new projects. And our reserves are declining largely because of the issue I mentioned with the reduction in federal forest payments. There's also been a decline in the gas tax. So that state highway fund is actually a reducing source of funding as well. So that's the $9 million gap that we have been projecting and filling from our reserves. Now, Lane County has been aware of this issue for a number of years, and so we've been taking a number of corrective actions to date. We've reduced staff by 35% since 2000. We've reduced our reserves by 50% since 2000. And again, that's using that money to fill that $9 million gap. We've consolidated and reorganized our departments for efficiencies. We use innovative technologies. Our materials lab is the only materials lab in the state. They've developed some new innovative ways to preserve and maintain the roads that are cost effective. Other agencies also use those kinds of treatments. What's something we didn't used to do, but now we have become very aggressive with our agency partners in seeking grants and trying to leverage resources. In the days when we had the secure rural schools payments, we were able to share that money with the cities. We have a revenue sharing program, and we gave up to $5 million a year to all of the cities. Clearly, we're unable to do that, and again, we're now at those same tables with our partner agencies looking for grants. With all of these actions, though, that we've taken to date, we're really at this point now that we've been calling the tipping point. We can't cut any services. We can't look for new, we don't have new revenue coming into the road fund. We really need a new source. This idea, and again, Commissioner Sorensen, of paying now or paying much more later. One of the things that we hear from people is Lane County's roads are in great shape. Why do you need this money? Well, our roads are in great shape, and we're very proud of that. And one of the reasons is again, we've had that federal forest money. We've been able to invest wisely in surface treatments that maintain and preserve the roadways, thereby extending its life. And that averages about $1 per square foot. Once you start seeing little cracks, potholes, those alligator cracks in the road, we can't use those cost-effective pavement preservation methods. We actually have to do full road reconstruction. And that starts costing more than the $12 per square foot range. So this, again, this idea of we continue to pay, invest $1 per square foot now to preserve our roads. If we wait, as Commissioner Sorensen said, if you defer your maintenance, the costs just go up over time. So, again, this is something we've known is coming. So in 2010, Marcia Miller, our public works director, directed staff to create a revenue options committee to look at different ways that we could bring more money into the road fund, again, recognizing the drastic reductions in federal forest payments. That committee created 28. There was actually more than 28. They narrowed it down to 28 feasible, which were further narrowed down into these seven top options. This summer, the Board of County Commissioners directed staff to go and work with our Roads Advisory Committee. That's a citizen committee that works on roads issues to evaluate the best solutions to make a recommendation to the board. And again, these are the top options that the committee was reviewing. The grants rider was something that we were able to implement, and so that was low-hanging fruit. We implemented that in 2012. We can answer questions about these. I don't want to go into too much detail about the different options, but I just want to be clear with everyone. We did really look at all of the options that are out there. Property taxes have a lot of limitations in the state, both politically and from the amount that you can raise. A lot of things like transportation utility fees, transportation service districts are good ideas, but what they lack is a system of collecting the money and administering it. We did look at a local gas tax. There's some real challenges for the county with the gas tax. One is if we do it countywide, we only raise about $1.5 million. Again, we're looking at a $9 million shortfall. Applying the gas tax within the cities in Lane County has the challenges of working out with those cities how to adjust their gas taxes. Five of the cities in Lane County already have gas taxes. And we've also been told that if we tried to do a gas tax, we would be lobbied very hard at the state level with deep pockets, and we didn't think we would be successful. Again, what we want to do is put our efforts into something that we think we have a good chance of succeeding with. And so this brings us to the local vehicle registration fee, which the Roads Advisory Committee unanimously recommended to the board to consider, and the board unanimously has recommended to put out for a vote in May. So why was it that the Roads Advisory Committee decided on a vehicle registration fee? Well, I mentioned again the regional solution that we were looking for. We were looking for a solution that just wouldn't help Lane County, but that also could help our regional partners. And the nice thing about the vehicle registration fee is that regional solution is built in. By state law, the vehicle registration fee is split 60% goes to counties and 40% is distributed to the cities within Lane County. Vehicle registration fee is a relatively stable source of funding compared to the gas tax. I mentioned again, that's a decreasing source of funding. One of the things that's very important to people, we want to be very clear that the vehicle registration fee, the funds collected, are directed to road purposes only. And then the other component of the vehicle registration fee is there's this real efficiency of administration because, unlike the other options we looked at, there's currently a collection method for the vehicle registration fee. The state collects vehicle registration fees when we register our vehicles with the state. If this is implemented by the county, the state would collect that money for us at a very low administration cost. So what exactly is it we're here asking for? The board is proposing a $35 a year vehicle registration fee. Now, we generally register our vehicles every 2 years, so that would be a $70 fee for every 2 years. The board could have imposed this. They had the right to do that per state law. They didn't want to do that. They wanted to bring it out for a public vote. They could have gone up to $43. They didn't do that. Why not? Because we actually did some pretty sophisticated research and polling, and that showed that $43 was not seen by the majority of the people as modest. When we went down to $35, that was something that seemed more reasonable to continue to provide the maintenance and services for safe roads. The vehicle registration fee, if passed, would raise almost over $11 million annually. And again, there's that 60% to the county, 40% split. And I have the next slide that talks about what those actual dollar amounts are. But what do we get if we pass the vehicle registration fee? Commissioner Sorensen mentioned it actually translates into our own pocketbooks. We save money if we have smoother roads. Safety, again, is our top priority. We want to be able to continue to provide safe roads and a safe transportation system. Again, it's this regional solution that is split 60-40 with the county and the cities. And the city of Eugene, of course, has the largest population. So the fee is collected based on registered vehicles, and then it's distributed to the cities based on the city's population. So the city of Eugene would receive over $2.6 million annually into its road fund if the vehicle registration fee passes. It's about $4.3 million that would be distributed to the cities. Sorry. So a few of the frequently asked questions. Again, I think I've mentioned the gas tax. Why not a gas tax? Again, really challenging for us to get something like that passed. Trucks, a lot of people say, hey, the trucks are out there. They're really causing the damage to the road. Why aren't you taxing them? State law doesn't allow us. And again, the main reason for that is because trucks already are required to pay their fair share through the weight mile tax. Studded tires. What about those studded tires? They're really causing damage to the roads, and they do. Studded tires, that's another one of those things that doesn't have a way of collecting the money. You'd have to institute some type of a retail fee that you'd collect. The retailers would collect when you buy studded tires. The retailers would have to distribute that to us. That really takes quite a big chunk of the change, and only 4% of vehicles out there are using studded tires. Public trust. How can we ensure public trust? And again, this is a question we get. How do we know that you're going to use the money the way you say you're going to use it? Well, there's actually a number of things that guarantee that for the public. The first is that by Oregon Constitution, vehicle registration fee dollars can only be used for road purposes. The Lane County Board of Commissioners has said that if we pass the vehicle registration fee, we will have an annual audit. And then we'll also have an annual review by our Citizens Advisory Committee. We did this with the jail levy that was passed a few years ago, and we just had our annual audit that a report was brought back to the board that showed, yes, those jail levy dollars were spent exactly how the board said that they were going to do that. And we want to do the exact same thing with the vehicle registration fee if it passes. So, again, if we pass the vehicle registration fee, it has to be exactly the way the state currently has it. We cannot exempt you if you have multiple vehicles. It has to apply the way it currently applies. If you register your car now, the registration for Lane County will also apply. There are some specific exemptions the state has. So again, if you're exempt from the state fees because you have an antique vehicle, a disabled veteran's vehicle, because you have a motorhome or a recreational vehicle, those things will not pay the vehicle registration fee. But again, we were limited. If we want to pass it, it has to be passed exactly the way the state does. So we don't have the ability to adjust anything within it. So one of the things that we've done, and I'll go through a couple of slides rather quickly here. Again, one of the questions we get is, what are you going to do if you pass this fee? And with the county, you know, some people are familiar with the City of Eugene street bonds, that the city passed the street bonds and specifically said these are the roads that we're going to fix. It's a little different for the county because we're talking about both services and projects. And so we've created this website that has a list of those services and projects that we would use. And we've also created this new thing our GIS staff is pretty excited about, these storyboards, which give information about what those services are, what we'll be able to continue with. And I know you can't read these here, but it's a little teaser for you to go back and look at our website. We should have some of this information up next week. But, you know, things like 24/7 snow and ice removal. We'll be able to continue to do that if we pass the vehicle registration fee. We wouldn't be able to continue 24/7 if we don't. We'd be able to continue with our vegetation program, again, making sure that vegetation is clear from the edges of the road, making sure our guardrails are clear. We'd be able to continue with some of the projects that we have as priority projects. So again, I just wanted to show this here, make people aware that we do have that information out on the website and encourage you. We have some flyers that will give you the information on what the website is on your tables, and we'll also make available the presentation that we're talking about today and those flyers on the City Club website. So again, I'll just flip through a few of those as examples of what you can see. So what are the next steps? This is part of our speaking tour. So as Commissioner Sorensen mentioned, he and I have gone out a number of times. Staff have gone out with other commissioners. We're speaking basically to anyone who will have us. It's very important to the county that we get the information out there to the public so the public make an informed vote. I've mentioned the website again. We've got a lot of information on the website. We'll be putting up the storyboards. We're putting a video on the website that talks about how we maintain and preserve our roads. We'll also have a voter's pamphlet that will be mailed to all of the voters prior to the election. Again, this was something that was very important to the board. They directed staff. It's actually the first time Lane County's created a voter's pamphlet in the past 20 years, but the board really wanted people to have all of the information. So that will be arriving. We'll also be doing some informational brochures that we'll be sending to people and do some information campaigns on radio. So again, our intent is really to get out as much information as we can so people can make an informed decision. So that concludes my presentation. Commissioner Sorensen and I are available for questions. Thank you very much.
So how do you want to do this? You're going to make some comments, and then we're going to field the questions?
That's right.
Perfect.
All right. Thank you, Lydia. I'm James Baldock. I was the chair of our study group committee. We've reconstituted our study group committee. We didn't have a study group since 2010, so this was an exciting first for us. Well, new first. And I just wanted to run over the City Club, what our process is. There's a report on all the tables and on our website. There's a long form report, about 9 pages long, if you're a details person. If you like to skip to the creme de la creme, you can check out our executive summary, which is on the front page and also on our website. We formed this study group over a 4-week period where we asked for nominations from our membership, both at the tables and over the air. We took everybody who was interested, and that was how we formed it. Our process was working with interested parties and gathering information first. The county was very open and very helpful with that. They had at least 2 in-person meetings with us, and we had a good email exchange. We tried to get in touch with any formal opposition. We couldn't really find any, so we had to come up with challenging questions on our own. Our goal for this was basically to create an unbiased report that just provides information for our members. A lot of people are going to judge taxes based on things like, is it fair or not? And we as a report, as a committee, can't tell you what's fair. Is it a flat fee where it says $35, hey, everybody uses the roads, everybody should pay the same. Is that fair or is that unfair? Because the people who can afford it the least are paying the same as people who can afford it the most. Those are personal questions that you as a voter have to decide, and that's why we were here, just to present the information to you and present both sides of the argument. So at the end of this process, our study group came together and we proposed whether we should adopt the proposal or not. And we, four of our 7 members said that the City Club should endorse this tax and we should say this is a good thing to go. One of our 7 members said it should not, and 2 of our members weren't there to vote, so they abstained. So the goal now, going forward, is you guys have a week to go home, do your homework, read our amazing report, and come to your own conclusions. We're going to be sending out an email to every member, so it's not just the audience here, and they can go on to, and they can send an email back, and there'll be instructions on how they can vote. And because the City Club is not about a study group, it's about our members, and we want to reflect our members' positions on the issues. So we're going to tally up the votes. They need to be in by next Friday. And then next presentation on Friday, we're also going to have ballot measures on the table, so people who don't want to vote can just show up at that meeting as well. And then we're going to count up all the votes, and we're going to see which side City Club falls in, and that is City Club's official position on this issue. So I'm excited to have this go forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Today's topic is Measure 20231, Lane County Vehicle Registration Fee. Our speakers are Commissioner Peter Sorensen and Lydia McKinney. We'll break now for a few minutes and then return with member questions. Thank you.
You're listening to KLCC NPR for Oregonians in Eugene, 89.7 FM KLCC, KLCO Newport 90.5, KLFR Reedsport 89.1, and at 88.1 KMPQ Roseburg, KLFO Florence, KLBR Bend, on the web at klcc.org, on Facebook and Twitter, and we have an app for your smartphone or tablet.
Back to the April 10th City Club program, Measure 20231, Lane County Vehicle Registration Fee. Our guest speakers are Commissioner Peter Sorensen and Lydia McKinney. City Club members, please identify yourselves and keep your questions to about 30 seconds each.
Hi, so I'm Mary Layton, actually represented by Mr. Sorensen. So my question is about stepping up to the plate. How is it that we're spending tens of thousands of dollars to bring a question to the voting public that could have been answered by our five Manly commissioners in a single vote? And then if we had fallout, we could have fallout. I mean, it's a question I ask a lot, and I haven't sat in your chair. I don't know what it feels like. But every time this happens and I'm being asked to vote again on something I'm never going to be as smart at as you are, because you've had all the time to study and all these wonderful people, what's the deal here?
Well, Oregon voters have the right to elect their elected officials, and many of them do vote, and many of them then get elected. But there are other ways of enacting legislation in Oregon besides having a board of commissioners or a city council or a state legislature to enact legislation. And the most obvious example is the initiative that allows people to vote on things that they themselves bring up. So when elected officials have the choice of whether they're going to enact something directly or they're going to refer it, one of the things they try to consider, at least I do, is what have other people done? And we know that in Oregon, four counties, we're the fourth county to consider using this power. And in the case of Multnomah County, the Board of Commissioners did exactly what you ask, and that is, could five commissioners vote this in? They did vote it in. But in the other two cases, in the case of Clackamas County and Washington County, in Clackamas County's case, they did enact it. They did enact it, and the voters overturned the enactment. Overturned the enactment. And the third county that did this was Washington County, which did in 2014 what we are attempting to do. They put it out for a vote of the people. So remember, our goal in this is to try to accomplish something. It is not to enact something by the Board of Commissioners or ditch off our responsibilities by having the voters make the decision solely. What we're trying to do is have an effective, strong strategy of accomplishment. And we believe we're more likely to get that accomplishment by having a shared buy-in with the public and not have the Board of Commissioners just make the decision.
Stu Thomas, City Club member. And I find myself a little confused that Commissioner Sorensen, as the sole progressive member of the board, you seem to be supporting such a regressive tax, wherein one person who drives a Chevy one of these monstrous eight-wheel drive vehicles. 20,000 miles a year pays the same fee as someone who's driving a Mini or a smart car. And I'm wondering how you would respond to that, to the voters.
I think there's two answers here. One is I'll give one, and then I'll let Ms. McKinney give one. First of all, we know that the Oregon legislature and all the members of Lane County's legislative delegation voted for this law. We know that the governor voted for this law. And you're right. I would align myself more with those folks politically than I do the four commissioners that I work with. But this is a matter, I think, that transcends politics in the sense that public safety and safety on the roads and safety for pedestrians is such an important issue. In my view, it transcends politics. I also reject the idea that, well, somehow this is a conservative versus liberal issue. You know, Senator Michael Bennett from Colorado is a Democratic senator, and he has been forceful on the topic of the disinvestment in America's public assets. And one of his speeches on the floor dealt with our refusal as a society to recognize that we've been trading on generations after generations of investment in the public sector. I have to say, we have not even had the decency to maintain the assets that our grandparents built for us, our roads, our bridges, our wastewater systems. So part of what I'm doing here is pointing out that we have something rather urgently we need to deal with. And it's true that school children do not pay this tax. People that have disabilities, such as blindness, that prohibit them from driving, they don't pay this tax. My mother's 93. She takes the LTD bus, the CERT transportation. She doesn't pay this tax. My interns that are U of O and LCC students that don't have cars, they don't pay this tax. People that don't have cars don't pay this tax. So I think there's some strength in this idea that saying the rest of us that drive cars, that by paying a fee of less than $3 a month, we're doing something to address this really serious problem in our community.
And I would just add to that, again, I mentioned that we don't have any ability to adjust the tax based on different types of vehicles, weights of vehicles, costs of vehicles. Other states do that, but the way that the state of Oregon has set this up, again, is very specific. The other thing to note is with regards to different vehicles, and I'm not sure that you were talking about this specifically. I think you were more talking about the economic value, but there's also the argument of weights. You know, why is a Honda Fit paying the same amount as a Hummer? And to a large degree, what we found is that the weight of a car until it gets to be about 10,000 pounds, and even a Hummer, I think, is within that range, has about the same amount of damage on the road. So the actual impacts, to the weight impacts of the road, really occur at more of those heavy truck levels.
Ruth Daimler. Commissioner Sorensen, when you first started your speech, you mentioned the death of the three children. There have been quite a few deaths this year. And I don't believe road condition on any of those events were responsible for those deaths. Maybe not, but from what I understand, speed and other things are very much a part. So I'm also concerned that we didn't hear what the total fee is when you register your car. If you just bought a car, I believe it would be $156. You pay it once every 2 years. We have a present fee now, and when you add the $86 for the present fee, it would be in addition to that. So my feeling, it is a flat tax, a regressive flat tax. We have a good many homeless that are sleeping in their car, the only place they have for shelter, and to pay all of a sudden $156, it's a lot of money for them, and to think it is a flat tax. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for expressing your opinion. And let me just point out that in the past I've had a hard time with the Board of Commissioners putting items out for public vote without the fairness that I think is being generated and shown in this election. We have had the opportunity in this election to see the voters' pamphlet. I was the commissioner that insisted on that. We saw that the county also made an opportunity for people that were opposed as well as in favor of this measure to say why they were in favor or opposed to the measure in the county voters pamphlet. So when you get that voters pamphlet, you'll see whatever arguments people submitted pro and con on the measure. And I also agree with you that we should make an accommodation for this. The state legislature should make an accommodation for allowing someone like myself to advocate for changes in how the vehicle registration fee is assessed. As it stands now, the county is complying with state law in putting forth the fee. And I don't disagree with the point of view of someone that says, oh, well, I'm not going to vote for this fee because it has certain aspects of it that I can't live with. But I will tell you, from being one of those five people that has to balance this budget, that it really does cost about $100,000 to put in one of those fancy crossings that you might see at 18th and Bailey Hill Road. And Marty Wilde, who is the former president of the City Club of Eugene and on the Eugene City Budget Committee, said to me recently that it costs about $100,000 for the crossing at 30th and University, which is a safety issue for the children and people in that neighborhood. And I frequently, on behalf of constituents in South Eugene, am writing our friends at the city and saying, please do something about the crossing at the YMCA, which they did do. Please do something about the crossing at 18th and Bailey Hill, which they did do. And I've asked them to do others, and I think it's legitimate for them to say, we don't have enough money to do all of these. If I bring them $2.6 million, I think they'll have a little bit more money to address these safety needs. And you're right, there are many reasons to take a look at this proposal and say, well, I'm sorry, the state law didn't allow for the taxation of those 4% of those people that use studded tires, so I'm not going to vote for it. I understand there will be people that will take that view. I don't take that view. I take the whole thing in the context, and I have to live in a real world, and I did my best. Now it's up to the voters if they want to prove it or not.
Larry Dunlap, club member since about 8 years ago. Our table was concerned that the commissioners, in not having perhaps the courage to establish this tax all by themselves without a vote of the people, might at some time in the future find that courage and raise the tax. Is there a guarantee that this wouldn't happen?
Well, this is a this is an ordinance, and so ordinances under Lane County Charter can be enacted by the people through the initiative, or they can be enacted by the Board of Commissioners upon reasonable notice and a public hearing. So this ordinance, if it is approved by the people, can be altered by the Board of Commissioners. And if by some miracle we are to receive federal forest funds in the amounts that we were getting in the 70s and 80s, we might well do that. I would predict that the board would take an interest in getting rid of this fee if we had adequate funding. I don't think that's going to happen, which is why I think the commissioners have done that. But the technical answer is it is an ordinance. It could be changed by the vote of the people. It could be changed by vote of the Board of Commissioners.
Clay Stevens, City Club member since 2013. Our table had two questions. One, of the 40% that's estimated to go to the cities, are the city's hands tied that those funds must be used towards roads, or is the law not go that specific, and can they just use that on anything they want? The second question is, why $35? Was there any sort of analysis that said this is the correct number? Why 34? Why not 36? The law allows it to go up to 43 under state law. Why was 35 chosen? Thank you.
Lydia knows the answers to all these questions.
Thank you. I actually do know the answer to these two questions, so that's good. So the first question, are the city's hands tied? The answer to that question is yes. Again, vehicle registration fees can only be used for road purposes. Now, I want to clarify that the Lane County Board of Commissioners has added language to the code that if this passes, Lane County will only use our funding for maintenance and preservation of roads. Again, that's our need. That's what I talked about earlier on, that we want to continue to maintain and preserve our roads and bridges in a safe manner. The cities can use the money for maintenance and preservation or any other way as long as it's within the road system. So again, the pedestrian hybrid beacons, those things are all eligible, but they have to be within the road right of way.
John DeLow, City Club member, and I'm afraid I'm here to rain on your parade. All the people I have talked to about this measure don't give it much chance of passing. And I have to agree with them. I think it's because it seems unfair. Again, to reiterate what one of the other questioners said was, you know, why is my 2,000-pound Honda paying the same as much as a 12-ton truck? It's tied to the DMV, and the DMV has all that information. It would be a simple matter to tie to. You get the same amount of money if you say you charge the Honda 20 and the 12-ton truck 50, and in between everything else. Besides which, it would probably, to someone who buys a Hummer, they've got more money than someone who buys a Honda. Is there any way, okay, what's plan B if this fails?
Well, first of all, just to be clear, the Board of Commissioners has referred to the people the decision of whether they're going to enact this fee or not. We are taking that action under the provision of a state law that prohibits us from putting a $35 or even up to a $43 fee on the heavier trucks. They pay a different type of transportation tax called the weight mile tax. And the Legislative Assembly and the governor, in enacting this state law, does not allow counties to impose a vehicle registration fee on those big trucks. So if you're upset about the state law, that's one thing. If you're upset about why we didn't violate state law and try to impose that fee, that's a different thing. And I get your point that maybe you didn't like the state law in the first place.
No, I'm willing to pay the tax. I'd be happy to pay a tax, but first of all, I don't think it's going to pass. Second of all, because it to the people look at it and they say, well, that's not fair. And your mile, your vehicle mileage tax or whatever it is, only applies to the really heavy trucks. You have a pickup truck with a camper on it or something and it weighs 6 or 7 tons. That's not your big truck paying the extra fee. It's paying the $35.
Right. I think Ms. McKinney might know more about the public opinion polling than I do on the topic.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to the question about the $35 on why we settled on $35 instead of $43 or another amount that was asked before. And again, we did do a public opinion poll that gave us the information that $35 is the amount that people were willing to pay. $43 was seen as excessive. And honestly, the amount that we are seeking is $9 million to fill our gap. So the $35 gets us close to that. It doesn't completely bridge that gap, but that's the answer to the question.
And plan B?
The plan B, honestly, is if the vehicle registration fee doesn't pass, we will be cutting services and be cutting projects.
Robin Fletcher, and I've been a member since 2004. And my question is, have you done any polls? Do you know kind of what the mood is of the county?
Yes. I feel like I should say Pete Sorensen, City Club member since 1990. Well, yes, we've done extensive public opinion analysis, and Dr. Manross has come in to public sessions of the Board of Commissioners, and those are available on our website for broadcast and review. And essentially, what Lydia said earlier is the bottom line is that the polling has indicated a willingness on the part of the public to support modest fees. Specific dollar amounts were attached to that. Modest meant not 43, not 41. Modest was in the 35 range, and the purposes for which this money is dedicated, namely roads, bridges, public safety, within the right of way of the roads, finite use of the funding, all of that was analyzed, and I believe we've had at least two surveys over a one-year period in order to bring this proposal and have some degree of certainty that that the majority of people in Lane County would consider this to be a reasonable way to deal with this problem.
Marty Wilde, City Club member. Well, you're going to have to forgive me for 1 minute. I do want to give a shout-out on the 30th and University project. The pedestrian overpass, I was told by Mr. Hugh Hiller, was a project his wife worked on hard and lobbied, and it was one of the first of its kind, and it was quite revolutionary for its day, but obviously not ADA accessible. And I guess the point I want to make is there is a cost to the time between a fix and when it's funded, because the Bike and Pedestrian Advisory Committee had recommended replacing that with what we have now. And between the time they made that recommendation and the time the city was actually able to fund it, there was a handicapped man who was in a wheelchair and got hit by a car at that same intersection and almost died. So the question I actually have for you is that people always, when I talk to them, seem to want another level of government to come in and, you know, save our bacon at the last minute. I heard recently that Congress may renew the Secure Rural Schools money. Do you know if that proposal, if it should pass, does it fully restore that money, or is it another reduction? And if by some miracle Congress does pass the money, does the board have the authority to reduce or abate the fee until it's needed?
The fee can be raised or lowered by ordinance up to the maximum allowed by state law, which is currently $43. I think we answered that earlier. And with regard to the federal picture, you know, I've been involved in Lane County financing in one way or another for many, many years, longer than the 25 years I've been a member of the City Club of Eugene. I worked in the U.S. Congress on this issue, providing funding to counties affected by federal public land ownership. I worked in the Carter administration for the Secretary of Agriculture. I will just tell you this. The federal financing picture is really bad. It is not improving. And the basic arithmetic of the 200 forest counties in the United States against the other 3,000 or 2,800 counties is not a good long-term success for us. Now, does that mean that Congressman DeFazio, Senator Merkley, and Senator Wyden should somehow stop their efforts to advocate for the particular problems of those 200 counties in those states that have it? No, they shouldn't. And I've been testifying in Congress when allowed to on this topic, and I believe that the federal government should do more than they're doing. But under the current federal picture of both houses of Congress being controlled by people that are not particularly disposed to providing these funds to us, I think we better own up to where we are as a community, in our community. And to give you some idea of the importance of this, when the original SRS legislation was passed by Congress and President Clinton signed it in October of 2000, I was invited to the White House, to the Oval Office, to witness the signing of the legislation, because Lane County was the number one county in the United States to receive SRS. So one of the reasons we're talking about this today is we are now the number one victim of not getting this money renewed. And so we have to recognize that under the county administrator's proposed budget that's going to come out pretty soon, we're going to see a potential 26 positions in our own road department laid off, the budget committee, our budget committee, has said we don't want our last budget meeting to be May 19. That's when we were originally scheduled to finish our budget, May 19. Why are we not having a meeting on May 19? Why are we put it over to May 21? Because the voters are going to decide this issue on May 19. And then the budget committee will balance that budget. Either way, one way or the other, we're going to balance the budget with or without this $6.6 million.
Marlene Nesri, City Club member. One quick question before we close. You mentioned the process of developing the voters' pamphlet and the input that you received. Can you explain a little bit more how that works? From whom do you gather input? What kind of time period do they have? Who does the editing on that? I'm interested in the budget for producing voters' pamphlet as well.
I'll give you my take on this, and I think Lydia also has some information on this. First of all, voters' pamphlets can be issued by the state. They can be issued by the counties. They can be issued by the cities. Voters' pamphlets have not traditionally been issued by the county. For the past 20 years or so, the county has not issued voters' pamphlets. So in this instance, you're very familiar with the state voters' pamphlet that comes out every May of the primary election season and every November, and for any statewide special election. So that's a process. Lane County's Elections Division was given direction by the Board of Commissioners to put out a voter's pamphlet for this election. And there's a process by which the public and advocates and opponents put voter's pamphlet statements into those. There's also a process when a measure goes on the ballot that the government that's putting it on the ballot convenes a committee of people, and those people write up an explanation, and they can't work for the government that's putting it out. They put out an explanation of the measure that the explanatory committee approves. As a state senator, I was on several of these explanatory committees on state matters. Obviously, I'm not on a Lane County explanatory committee to explain what the Board of Commissioners has done, because I'm ineligible for that. But that is the process that's used. You asked a question about editing. Who edits the voters' pamphlet? There is no real editor. There is a coordinator. In the case of the state, it's the Secretary of State. In the case of the county, it's the chief elections clerk of the county. And all they do is they gather the explanatory statement and the advocates' and opponents' statements and put it all into a book. But there's no editor, such as maybe an editor like you, that would go through and say, well, gee, we could say that a little better this way. No, there's no editing of voters' pamphlet statements. The concept is that the advocates will have the perspective that we need to make it as strong as we can, and we need to say what we need to say, but the concept of the government not censoring or modifying what people that are for a measure or against a measure, that is a dominant view. And Lydia might know more about the financing of it.
I'm actually not quite sure what the Lane County did pay. I think it was between $20,000 and $40,000 to put together the voters' pamphlet. As Commissioner Sorensen said, we were required to create an explanatory committee with people for, against, and impartial, and we did do that. Actually, the information that was put together by your very good committee, this is the explanatory committee for the measure. And then there was a deadline, I believe it was March 23rd, for people to provide arguments for and against, and those have already been included in the pamphlet you will all be receiving.
Okay, thank you. And thank you, Peter Sorensen and Lydia McKinney, for bringing clarity and vision to the City Club program, Measure 20231, Lane County Vehicle Registration Fee. Thanks again to our sponsors, Oregon Country Fair, Wayne Morse Center, and Dot Dotson's. We meet again on April 17th at the Downtown Athletic Club for Achieving Equity in Policing, Minority Voices, with guest speakers Jack Rady, Betsy Davis, and Salome Chimuku. Lunches for this program can be ordered on City Club's website or by contacting the office. Thank you all very much.